What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by our friends over at X2 Power Batteries. We are back with another episode this week. It was part two of our live show from Tuesday night, where you see part one, we had Emil Wagner join the show, where he talked about a whole bunch of things under the sun, but talked about glide baiting, talked about flukes. He dropped some secrets on how to catch more fish on a fluke, seeing as though I personally cannot stand fishing a fluke. Talked the TAA, no forward facing, no waypoints, no practice tournament that they fished, and kind of the future around that. But it was just overall a great conversation with Emil. Definitely recommend you guys go checking that out if you haven't listened to that one yet. But on today's episode, for part two of that show, is with the University of Montevallo anglers, Tyler Corey and Scott Sledge, which I make note to it here in this show, but I think Scott literally has one of the coolest names in fishing with Sledge. Kind of got to play off that if he's going to be trying to get into the industry. Definitely could have some fun around that. But it was a really good show with these guys digging into that college fishing lifestyle, life on the road for these guys, their championship. I should say the college classic win that they had over on Lake Keystone during the classic weekend. Got to get up on stage, get the trophy. Of course, while Easton was fishing the classic itself, so him and his tournament partner didn't get to compete in it. Would have made for a nice showdown between these two teams, as they're very competitive, come from the same school, but they're very competitive. And obviously it shows how iron sharpens iron. So it's a great episode. If you guys, I encourage you to go listen to the episode with Emil. We talked about some sales, things like that. Winner of the Blackfish gear giveaway that we did for hitting 10,000 followers. Oh, wow. Voice week there. it is 5:30 in the morning. You'll have to forgive me. We hit 10,000 followers on Instagram, so we gave away some Blackfish gear, and look forward, because there's going to be a lot of more opportunities to win some Blackfish gear through us coming up soon, as they just dropped some new sun gloves, which I am very excited to get my hands on. Got the new pants in. They have new colors in the Swift hoodies, the UPF sun hoodies, I should say. So Blackfish is really coming on strong so far in 2024. Make sure you guys check that out. You can always check them out at blackfishgear.com down below, or you guys can actually go to Omnia Fishing with our link down below and save on your Blackfish gear. Save 10% by using code SERIOUS10. That way you guys save some money. And also you can put your tackle order in with your Blackfish order. So two for one, one shipping expense. So you can make it all worth it, make it all easy for your time and get some quality product. So, but looking ahead for next week, guys, we have a pretty exciting Tuesday Night Live. We're still trying to confirm if we can get the guest to confirm. Then it'll be a pretty fun Tuesday Night Live. But on Monday night, we believe it'll be up. But if you guys saw, today is day one of the Harris Chain Bassmaster Elite event. It got postponed yesterday, so day one starts today, meaning that day four championship day will be Monday. Monday is supposed to be our St. John's River Fantasy Fishing Show at 8 p.m. Eastern, live here on our YouTube channel. It should be up live after that event, the fantasy fishing anyway. And if so, we will be going live. If not, we will have to postpone that to either Tuesday or Wednesday evening. Regardless, we will have that show. Just want to give you guys a heads up. Make sure you guys follow us on social to get the more up-to-date news on when we're going live, when shows are going to be, and some new show drops. So without further ado, Tyler Corey and Scott Sledge. All right, and we are back, and we're back with part two. We're going to bring on two young hammers from the college ranks, University of Montevallo. One, the old college, the college deal on the classic weekend. So let's bring them in here without further ado. Yeah, Mr. Tyler Corey and Scott Sledge. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, guys? What up?
How are you guys?
Sorry to make you wait so long.
No, that's all right. That was good stuff. Emil was on a tangent, and I love it.
Yeah,
that's all the show is. Rabbit holes. Which, speaking of rabbit holes, dude, Scott, I think you have to be in the bucket, like, top five coolest names in fishing right now.
Me?
Yeah, Sledge just sounds badass, dude.
I always get told it sounds like an old, like, rock star from, like, the 80s and 70s, and I should have big poofy hairspray hair or whatever.
Yeah, but... and a mustache, man. Like,
oh, my mom hates it. She's watching the podcast right now. She hates this thing.
Wait, is that a mullet going, too? You got a mullet going?
Me? I don't really know what it is. I don't have any
of them. Oh, yeah. That's basically.
Oh, dude, you got some. No, you know what you got? You got the hockey mullet, where it's the bad hairline, and then you got the lettuce flowing out the back.
Yeah, that's kind of what I went for. Yeah, I figured, like, I don't know, 3-4 years, I won't have hair anymore, so just grow it out while I can.
Buddy, I'm right with you. it's a hockey thing. It's the two things that I've seen, which actually, this is an interesting conversation. I haven't seen this with football players, but hockey players and anglers, horrible hairlines at such a young age because of helmets, and we all wear hats. I don't know what it is. That's why Chad Pipkins has the greatest hair on the tour, because he never wears a damn hat. He never wears a hat.
Him and Skeets. He used to wear that visor, and he's impeccable still.
That's right. That's right. Well, boys, first thing I want to get into is one, congratulations on Classic Weekend. That's pretty cool. Thank you. Absolutely love the picture of Tyler's face just full on screaming with the trophy. That was pretty hype. I can imagine. So kind of give us a lay down, because the one thing I do love Classic Weekend, but the one thing that I would say, if there's anything I'd love to improve about it, is put some more buzz around you guys on stage, as well as the kayak guys on stage. So for people that might not have seen it or gotten overlooked by the mass amount of Classic coverage, kind of give a breakdown of what event you were fishing and what was all in it that you guys are competing for.
Right. So it was the Bassmaster College Classic. It's basically a one-off exhibition type tournament to showcase the high finishers from last year. So it was the top two from all four of the regular season college events, and then the top two from the national championship, and the top two in the team of the year. And we were second in team of the year last year, right behind Easton, but everybody got an invite. So all 12, and then 9 ended up showing up. And we were on Keystone Lake on Sunday of the Classic from 7 to 2. We were doing.
And what, how did the, from the tournament itself, what'd you guys win with? Like, what were the weights like?
We had 22 even. Our teammates came in second, Nick Dumpke and James Willoughby, with 18, 14 or something. And then there was a 16 and another 15 in there. The weights were pretty good. The lake kind of fired that day. It's pretty decent in practice, but not that good.
Yeah, I remember, because you came over to the X2 booth for a little bit. We were chit-chatting. You're like, I kind of got a feeling about something. You're kind of being a little under the radar about it. But the next thing you know, I see you guys. I'm in the media room, and I see you hold up the stage. I'm like, oh, I was just talking to that kid. It worked out perfect for you boys.
Yeah, but we were getting a couple pretty big bites. We got 2 days of practice, and we were getting a couple nice bites every day and some pretty consistent. Kind of had a pattern figured out and caught one like right at 6 pounds on a mag draft the last day of practice. And then that was pretty much it. We went in, we pretty much found all we can possibly find for a 1 day derb. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And we got fortunate enough where it was just one of those days on Sunday that wind kicked up and everything that we'd found that was decent or good just got better. And everything that we swung on that day was just big. I don't know, that we ain't never seen anything like it in all of our college tournaments.
So yeah, how are you guys catching them, if you're willing to divulge?
Yeah, we caught them jerking Vision 110 and a half-ounce War Eagle spinnerbait just crawling the bottom with it. They're on, like, channel swing, main, like, the first big swing coming into the creeks on that pond. Anywhere that you had that good bluff transition, there's a lot of big bluff walls out there that you'd get a decent little like pea gravel kind of shelf rock transition before it got to the big flat where they'd spawn. And that's where they were. It got a little colder our off day on Saturday when the high schoolers were out there, and that kind of killed the mag draft bite that we had going on, but didn't move them much. It kind of backed them off onto the actual bluffs. And I think it just made it better. It was just every fish in the lake was on those little swings, and it showed on tournament day.
Yeah, obviously 22 pounds. I mean, that's a damn bag. Twist my arm the way you guys are catching them. You weren't having any fun.
No, not at all. Not even a little bit.
So Scott, were you guys given, obviously Easton's fishing the Classic, so you couldn't really, you know, poke any fun at him, but so was all the poking the fun, the bragging rights going at Nick then, because he finished second to you boys?
Yeah, I mean, would you say so? I would say so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just always been kind of a friendly rivalry between us two. We've usually, us both all four of us being from up north, like we didn't know each other really in high school. And then we all showed up here and we were like, man, we're all from pretty close from home. And I don't know, we've all just kind of grown up together here. So to get one over on those guys felt good, but they've got 24-1 at this point.
Hey, take your wins where you can get them.
That's what we're saying.
Absolutely.
You guys, program wise, it's damn impressive. And obviously I knew about Montevallo and Bethel and things like that, you know, going into, or just from following fishing. But really when I got a glimpse of the kind of characters that your program is churning out was actually when I got to meet Nick probably 2 summers ago now, because he obviously works for Wired to Fish, and just seeing work ethic, but also how much he actually knew about fishing. And then when I got to learn, he fishes in college for Montevallo, and I'm like, oh damn, this is the kind of people you guys are turning out over there. So what is that environment like for you guys? And you talked about friendly rivalry, but like, what is the day in day out look for you, likely for you guys?
Yeah, the first thing that makes it super easy that I know everyone asks, like, how do you guys leave for weeks on end? Our professors around here, for one, get what fishing is, being located in Central Alabama. A lot of them might not like fish on the weekends or anything, but at least they know what we're doing. So that helps a ton. They're super flexible. And then the environment that our coach has created around here, that just like, it's that iron sharpens iron type mentality where either you compete and get better or you get left by the wayside around here. And that's what's created such an environment around here that's just trophies everywhere. And I don't know, way more accolades than I figured it was possible to collect in a 4-year period of being here.
Yeah. Is there any like sneaking around with each other, knowing that you guys might see each other in the opens or things like that later on?
I think there's a little bit of that. I don't know. It's just nice to have so many like-minded people around here. Like if we ever did want to go to fish the opens, like chances are someone from this university that we've fished with is going to want to do it too. So we got some running baits and I don't know. It's just such a melting pot too. Like Scott's from Indiana. I'm from Wisconsin. We got obviously Easton and Nick from Minnesota, some other guys from Minnesota, but we got dudes from California. We got dudes from Texas. We got dudes from here in Alabama. Like, it's just a giant melting pot of like specialties and techniques and stuff that when it all comes here to the same little town in Central Alabama, it just works. I don't know.
Yeah. So I guess I'm curious. We'll start with Scott and move over to you, Tyler. What is the biggest thing that you have learned from out of fishing in college that you wouldn't have if you didn't sign up for the program?
I guess that you just have to catch them, because the college guys catch them the best. It kind of teaches you what to do to where you like don't really like crap out in a tournament. You just have to learn to, I don't know, be consistent, and consistency is going to get you farther. And I guess that's the biggest thing I've learned so far in college is just being consistent. And that has gotten us farther as a team more than anything.
I got you. Yeah. And so not like always being out there looking for the biggest sack in the lake, but how to survive and make that the top 20s, top 10s.
Yes. Like, yeah, we, of course we want to win, but right, we kind of have our position on the team. We're not the big swingers. We're both bigger guys. We're the linemen of the team. We do the dirty work. And like,
hey, everyone, I've seen Tyler. That boy's a damn lineman. I'll tell you what.
I say we kind of just like protect everyone, and like, we have our couple guys that you always see them towards the top of the leaderboard. But if you go back just a little bit, that's kind of where we are. We're kind of point blockers almost, you could say.
All right. I got you. Tyler, what about you, man?
Yeah, kind of the same thing, is just how to grind and how to survive, how to deal with that much pressure, because we don't fish many college tournaments that aren't capped out at 250 boats. So just coming from up north where a lot of our tournaments are 30, 40, 50 boats maybe, like, the first 250 boat blast off I ever seen, I was a little shell shocked. And then just learning how to deal with that and stuff, and being able to like grind to get to 12 or 13 pounds and survive to fish another day is something that I would have never learned without college. And then just being able to, like he said, consistently put up decent finishes, and then be able to see when you have that opportunity to pop off and win one.
Yeah. I mean, the dynamic, I've heard a lot of guys talk about the college ranks and the open ranks, like compared to now that when they're on tour, things like that, and the competitiveness of it, and how it just keeps getting better. I mean, look, we saw Easton, we got what, 17th or something like that in the Classic against some of the best in the world. That speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Again, on what the college programs you guys are in or putting out. So it's damn impressive, and it's really setting you guys up for, I think, exactly what, like, say Bassmaster is trying to do with the 9 Opens. Is that something you guys, is that your next step? Do you guys know yet if that's the jump you're going to make?
I mean, I would like to personally, I'd like to do it, but at the same time, I want to graduate. I want to get a job and get kind of a foundation set before I chase anything. I just don't want to go into debt right out of it and kind of be, well, I tried it for 2 years. I'd rather save up some money and go at it for like 3 or 4 years.
So are you saying that because mom's watching, or are you say, is that?
No, no. My mom knows that. That's what I've pretty much always said. I knew I didn't want to chase it. I don't feel like I'm ready fresh out of college. I want to get some more experience out, fish some bigger tournaments, and just kind of dabble around and then take the leap.
Yeah. I think that would make you a very smart man if you did it that way. But as a fan of the sport, all I got to say is I just want to see some open coverage with the big sledge on the back of a jersey. I just got to see it happen at least once.
Let's see what we can do.
Sledge, like a hammer, like vinyl wrap, right? And just
put a hammer wrapped on the boat.
Yeah, he needs like a Stanley sponsorship or something. Like with yeah. Hardware, Harbor Freight, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be fire.
Yeah, that be in the front, your name on the jersey, it's just Scott the Sledge.
Yep. The Sledge.
That's all. But Tyler, what about you, man? Is the Opens, is that the plan?
Yeah, I'm engaged right now. I'm going to try and get everything settled as far as starting a family and stuff, and then go for the leap whenever we see fit. I'm a big believer that everything happens for a reason, and if it's supposed to go that way, it will. I'm going to do everything in my power to work towards that, but I'm not going to put me or my fiance in any sort of dire financial situation trying to chase something that I'm probably not ready for straight out of college.
Yeah. Well, one, bravo. Two, run while you can. Yeah. I think that's the every married man joke I'm supposed to make now that I'm married, but I feel like we're obligated, Andy, now to say these things. I don't know. I'm still getting used to the married life.
How was it, like, shake the head no, but say yes? No, was it say no and then shake the head yes? Like,
run. No, honey, I didn't order that tackle. That
yeah. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. For real, congrats on that.
Thank you.
Smart on your part to obviously get the foundation going, which leads me to the question, because I think everybody, I mean, heard multiple people talk about it. If you guys listen to Mercer's podcast, he talked about it with Hamner, but he talked about how he literally was scrounging for change under the seat of his truck to make it happen. So from your guys' perspective, where eventually you want to make that jump or at least try, but you have the wits about you to do it in an intelligent way, how does a testimonial like that from Hamner, where he's doing by any means necessary, does that conflict with you guys at all, personality wise? Does it ever come upon you in your noggin where you're like, man, screw it, we should just make the jump? Like, that's got to be kind of conflicting when you see these guys like Justin Hamner that get it done that fashion. You see countless stories like that. That's got to be kind of somewhat conflicting for you guys that are going through the ranks right now.
Yeah, I would say definitely it is.
Yeah.
It's something that we all think about. I've had the thought before that I would live in the back of my truck and just travel around and fish. But at the same time, I wouldn't really want to live like that for that long. Very long. So,
especially
today. But that's just me personally. That's just me.
Yeah. No, that's smart. Smart.
And it's tough for us right now because, like, we've been engulfed in this college fishing thing for like 4 years now, fishing like, I don't know. I think last year we fished like 15 or 16, 17 college tournaments. And so it's like every other weekend for us. So it's easy to say right now, like, yeah, you know, we'll take some time off and maybe make the transition later. But there's a good chance that we may get out of this thing and be like, dude, we're so freaking addicted to tournament fishing that we can't not. There's no other option. So it's tough to say until after we graduate and kind of space ourselves away from this incredibly competitive environment that we're in right now. But I don't know if it's something that if the opportunity came tomorrow and it gave me like full ride entry fees paid, like, let's go, I'm hopping on it. Like, I'm sure everybody else would, but to find that opportunity in this industry is difficult. So hoping to take the next couple of years and maybe find that golden ticket.
Yeah. So with that, I got some fun questions lined up, but before we do, I definitely want to give a nod to you guys doing it the right way, being smart about it. So with that, what are your guys's degrees? And like, what's the, obviously there's the fishing dream, but what do you guys want to do? Like, what do you want to do with your degree?
So I am getting my degree in marketing, like most guys fishing in college. And I'd love to stay in the fishing industry. Like, that's been my dream since I was a kid, is to either fish professionally, and if I can't, engulf myself as close to it through my job as I can. So don't have anything lined up right now. Still looking. Obviously, it's a small industry. You got to know people to get in. But I'm interning up at Bassmaster right now in their magazine editorial department. So James has been a big help for me, and Brianne, trying to get me pointed in the right direction at least to find a job within the industry. But that's, that is the goal if we can't make it professionally.
You got to deal with James Hall. That sucks.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. Terrible people to work with.
Yeah, horrible. Horrible person. Horrible.
Worst college job I could ever imagine.
I'd say that's a good resume builder. Yeah. James is one of my favorite people in the industry. And I only say that just because I like to poke fun at him, because he definitely gives it tenfold, which I'm sure you get a bunch of.
Oh, yeah.
New guy.
Dude, when him and Brian get after it in the office, it's some of the funniest stuff you've ever heard. Like,
oh, Brasher?
Oh, when him and Brasher get together, it's just, it'll have you rolling madness for hours, dude.
Those two are some of my favorite people on this planet. But yeah, dude, doing it the right way, I love that. It's definitely a good gig to have on. Yeah. And I will say there's definitely some industry people that watch and listen to this show, and I'm just gonna say it directly, if you're looking to hire, there's two guys right here. But Scott, what about you, man? What do you want to do next?
I'm graduating in December. I decided to take a half semester. Business marketing is my degree. It's easy. I kind of enjoy it. I actually really do enjoy it, just going out and learning how to like move products, sell stuff. And I just want to do something in the industry. I really don't care what it is. I don't care if I'm standing behind a real counter at a tackle shop or if I'm out selling product at a expo like the Classic. I just want to do something within the industry, outdoor industry, hunting or fishing side.
I take it, man. I know. I think Sledge Fishing LLC kind of sounds pretty good.
I could open my own tackle shop, Sledgehammer Fishing or something. I don't know.
Hey, could have your own like marketing firm, like. Hey. Yeah, you your partner right next to you. There you go.
Right, yep.
Yeah. Who does your guys' marketing? Oh, Sledge. Yeah, Sledge Fishing. Yep. Yeah.
Sledge.
All I'm saying, man, is you got the name right there.
Yeah.
But that's awesome, dude. So first thing I'm curious with you guys, because I asked Easton this when he came on the show a while back, is what are some road stories that you guys have? Like, what's one first thing that comes to mind? That, keep in mind right that mom's listening, Scott. But
I don't care. I'll start it. She'll love this one.
Let's hear it.
So we're down at Harris Chain. I'll just go ahead and say the lake because it's blown out. We always went to Apopka before it was cool to go to Apopka. We made the run, and we were going when there was like four boats there. Well, we're flipping down this pad line. Tyler pitches out, and his line jumps, and I'm sitting on the back, and I'm peeing, and I go, just don't catch one while I'm peeing. And he reels down and pops it, and his braid breaks, and it breaks like in his eyelet, and it just right out the rod. And he's like, damn, I broke it. And I'm like, no, it's right there on that pad stem. Go, go, go. And so he kicks the trolling motor on high and is like reaching for it, can't find it. And so I run up, not thinking I still have my pants down, and kind of just jump in a little bit, like hang over the side of the boat, water like up to here in my arm, and I managed to get the braid and get the fish.
It's like 4-pounder. So it's pretty clutch.
And then stand back up, turn around, my rod, and my wiener's hanging out. So.
Oh man.
That's incredible.
Might as well pee on your jig and see if they bite it.
Yeah. If that's not a tournament partner, I don't know what is, man. That's dedication.
That's just my story.
Right hand. You're lucky there wasn't like a jerk bait hanging around there.
And, yeah,
like,
exactly. It's just no trouble.
Oh, I got so many comments, but we're gonna keep this PG.
Keep it PG, Bailey. PG.
I'm sorry, Miss Sledge. Please don't hate me. That's incredible, dude. Damn dedication. Holy crap. That was not where I was seeing this going. I thought I was like kicking on high and you were gonna fall in or something, but yeah, that's even better.
He just made a lot of fans. Bass boat to catch a 4-pounder. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
That was last year too. So without that fish, team of the year, second place, probably wouldn't have happened. If that one would have gotten broke off, who knows what could have happened.
Hey,
so that thing, was
good things happen at strange times.
Yeah, exactly. Last year was just one of those years. Every like event
was something.
Every event we had one of those fish where we landed one that we definitely shouldn't have, and we were just like, wow, I don't know why that happened, but we're cool with it. Let's just keep it rolling.
My question is, not because I want to see it, because I'm with the whole Jockey Outdoors now being the title sponsor. Was this part of Bass's pitch to have Jockey be?
Yeah. This is it right here.
Oh man, if you had a GoPro rolling for that, that
dude,
would
be- I know. That's all we were saying was like we needed that clip. I mean, that would have been gold.
Just don't show mom.
Like, right.
I'm just kidding. Tyler, from your perspective, as this is going on, are you just like looking down like, What is happening?
I was like looking around for the braid or whatever, and he just like out of nowhere, like reflexes like a cat, just jumped in and grabbed it. And I was like, hey, got it.
Hey, the boat's behind there, like, hey,
like, yeah, that's a nice one.
Just hanging loose, you know, like just having a time.
I didn't even realize that was what he was doing until like he stood up or whatever, and I was like, all right, yep.
That's incredible.
Mag speed worm right there.
So they call them sleds, baby.
That's right.
Some boats in the area are like, yeah, they saw their own equipment.
Boy, he dropped the hammer on him, didn't he?
God. We can a go shine all refrain night. From these comments, Andy.
Oh, gosh. We're out in the water all day. My brain is fried. I apologize.
No, you're good. You got Real Hook Set Outdoor says, reminds me of some of the Bill Dance bloopers. I don't know if we've seen any bloopers like that. No. But I don't think anybody wants to see Bill with his pants down. I don't know. Tyler, do you have one that can even beat that? I think that one might take the cake.
You got plenty of
people. Yeah. We got so many road stories. Like, if there's something that could happen to you on the road, I promise you it's happened to us too. There was a stint there sophomore year where we could not keep anything from breaking at all. Like, I think back-to-back tournaments, we blew up a truck and then cooked a hub on the way to Florida back-to-back tournaments.
Good.
So that was fun. But the blowing up the truck story was fun. We were on our way back from Clark's Hill, and it was winter break, so there was, like, no one around or whatever, and we were just trying to get back to Montevallo. We were literally going to leave, like, the next day to go home for winter break. And it's, like, 9 o'clock at night. We're just trying to get back. We got us and then two of our teammates in the back who their teammates, like, lived over there in Georgia, so they stayed, and then we had to give them a ride back or whatever. And we're going, and we got through the meat of Atlanta, no problem. We're like leaving Atlanta, and if you've ever been on your way on 20 going west towards Birmingham, there's like two or three big hills leaving Atlanta. And I'm like, my parents like gifted me this 2018 Eco Diesel with like no miles on it to be set in college, like not have a problem. We're going to do it was a loaner type deal. We're going to give it back at the end. And we're going up one of these hills, and I'm like, damn, something just don't sound right. So I'm like flipping through the little screen or whatever to try and figure out like, is my temperature fine and all that? And I like coast down this hill and we go to go up the next one and it just, everything cuts off, blown up. Didn't make a noise, no check engine light. And we are, it's like four lanes wide right there and we are in the furthest left lane with a boat hooked up in Atlanta.
Perfect.
And I just threw the blinker on and I don't, by the grace of God, there was no one there for me to take out with the boat trailer, because it was one of those situations that if we didn't get over, we were going to be parked in the middle of the highway, blown right up. But we did, thank goodness. And it took us, if you've ever tried to use the roadside assistance that they provide, I would not suggest it, because we sat there for 4 hours waiting for their tow truck to come with the boat still hooked up. And their best answer that they could give us was, yeah, we can come get it tomorrow morning if y'all can get a hotel or something.
Oh, my God.
As we're like not in a nice part of Atlanta at all.
I don't think there is a nice part to Atlanta. No. That's like the worst place to break down.
Absolutely. I still have nightmares about that. I swear. That's terrible.
I mean, you've been through it now. So, I mean, anywhere else that could possibly happen, you'd be all right.
And I proudly drive a Tundra now. 50,000 miles in, not a problem.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of horror stories about that brand in particular.
Jeez, man, that was bad. And then, like I said, the next tournament on our way to Florida, we made it halfway there and cooked a hub at about 10 o'clock at night, sat at a do-nothing
shell.
We pass the town every time we go to Florida, and we're like, yeah, we spent a lot of time there. I'd rather not stop there ever again.
Oh, no.
That was one of those where some random tow truck driver, we were like broke down in the gas station, and the owner of the gas station came out and was like, hey, just to let you guys know, like, we're gonna shut the lights off after we close at like 10, so I don't know if you guys have lights or anything to like light up where you're working or whatever, but we're shutting the lights off, we're going home. And we were in the middle of nowhere, Florida, and there is some creatures crawling around. And we're like, these lights are going to shut off, and it may be the last anyone ever hears of us. This is going to be it. And then some nice guy who runs a tow truck came whipping in. He's like, y'all need a hand? I was just pulling in to grab Mountain Dew, but I see the gas station's closed. And that guy was in for a time, because the inner racer of our bearing had welded itself to the spindle, and it was not coming off. And I think that he had like a giant hammer and a really, really big chisel. And he was able to chisel it off, and we got the replacement on there and made it down to Leesburg, Florida at about 5 o'clock in the morning and drove straight to the ramp. We were going to sleep at the hotel for the night, but straight to the ramp.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do. That sounds like Bailey's.
What you got to do.
Bailey's road, like, stories. He's got some good ones.
Well, thanks. They don't break down. Hold on.
Yeah, exactly. Knock on some wood.
The Road Warriors. That's, man, especially in Florida of all places. Because when you say creatures, for people listening or watching, he's not talking about gators.
No. I'm telling you, they just started crawling out of the woods, man. It was wild. The lights turned off, and it was like, if you've ever turned the lights off in a real bad motel and all the roaches come out, that's what it looked like. But they were not roaches. They were people. Scary, scary people.
Jeez.
Hey, you lived through it.
Right. We did.
That's a good story.
It's a great story. And I can tell you that we have every part imaginable in the truck to fix that problem if it ever were to arise again.
Yeah. Well, now that you've gone through it and you're prepared, it's not going to happen.
Right, exactly.
We thought we were prepared. We thought we were, but it's, you just never know what you need. So
right. So on the road, on that topic, what's the mainstay for you guys? Is it a Chick-fil-A? Like, what's the food option?
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, if we got,
if there's a Culver's around, it's Culver's.
If we're traveling to and from a tournament, you cannot beat a Larby's. A Larby's, a Love's Arby's combination.
Oh.
You can fuel up the truck, you can fuel up the boat, and you can fuel up yourself all at the Larby's, one-stop shop.
Love that.
You can never beat a Love's.
No.
That or a Pilot. You're like,
yep.
Mainstay. That's incredible.
I've never heard
but of if Larby's. When we're in town, it's a Chick-fil-A every time.
It's safe. It's a safe bet. Like, you almost never get bad food from there. Like, We've eaten, got food poisoning different times at tournaments from different places. So we always stick with what we know is good.
Are you guys like during the tournament itself, like practice everything? Are you still fast food? Or do you guys cook? What's your plan?
Just depends.
Yeah.
It depends where we are, really. Like this year when we were at Clark's Hill, we cooked pretty much every night we were there. And then our last tournament, we ate out.
Yep.
We ate at Culver's every night.
Easton buying everybody food?
Yeah. Yeah.
He pick up the check?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, yeah, I can imagine that being an interesting dynamic. Obviously, guys unlike the elites and the BPT have a little bit more, well, for the most part, some cash rolling that they can go and cook out. You see guys that are cooking out like these pristine ribeyes and crap during practice, and it's like, I don't think you boys are doing that. Maybe rocking the PB&J train, but
that's about it. Yeah, exactly. Chicken, if it's cheap.
I say you can buy spaghetti and Alfredo.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's just, it's
nothing
cheap.
Wrong with carb loading.
Get it done within 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So
the dollar box of pasta and you, exactly. You bull out on is a $4 can of sauce and you're
good to go. Either that living or we're pimping the little like prepackaged cups of soup or whatever. You can get them from like Costco. Costco's got them. Walmart's got them. Just pop them in the microwave. 2 minutes later, your dinner is served.
Heck yeah. Hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Exactly.
Right. So one question I actually have to you is, so on the elites, you don't hear it all that often about guys cutting each other off. And usually if you do, you're going to hear about it because the guys are going to say something, but it's not all that often. It seems like the guys get along fairly well in regards to they understand the ethics of things. And it's, if somebody does, it's usually in a moment of desperation. You see a little bit out in the opens, obviously with that big of a field. But even for the most part there, some guys they understand the ethics. They might just do it anyway, cause it's cutthroat. But I feel like on that college side, you definitely get some guys that might fish, maybe some more on the entry level anglers, or maybe some that have never run a boat before. Have you guys got anything like that? Like, how bad is it usually on the college side when it comes to like pulling up, cutting you off, things like that? Is it just something you're used to, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, you get used to it at some point. When you put that many kids out there and it's like uber competitive and stuff, like you're going to have some of that, but man, whenever you show up for that first big one of the fall, when all the freshmen just came in, I mean, I won't go over 40 miles an hour around some of these kids because they're in the most tricked out Phoenix Nitro Bass Cat you've ever seen. And they have never even driven their car 60 miles an hour, let alone a boat. So that's a little scary. But once they get the jitters out, once the upperclassmen put them in their place, everyone kind of finds their lane and it all settles out. But obviously, it's just competitive fishing. Like, you're going to have some conflicts on the water, but it's usually handled pretty well.
It's pretty well handled. Like, you just handle it right then and there and it's done.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. Well, when they see a 6'8 offensive lineman in the sledge in a boat, they're probably not going to do anything to you guys.
No, that helps. We avoid a lot of confrontation like that.
I just smile and wave.
If you have a new opposing opposition you could play defense with, you can just kind of replay that clip. Be like, listen, you don't want to know what I did in Apopka.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I'll moon your ass, all right?
If you don't move, just beware. There's something else coming.
They don't call me a sledge for nothing.
Oh, man.
That's awesome.
That's great.
What do you think, obviously, in being around the industry a little bit, being around guys at the Classic, you know, in fishing, obviously, we've talked about it many times in the show, is unique in the fact that the guys at the top level are super easy to interact with, are much more approachable, they're accessible, unlike any other sport. What do you think about college fishing from your guys' eyes being in the trenches right now makes it unique compared to everything else?
I feel like what makes it most unique is like everyone is at the same point in their life pretty much. It's crazy the fraternity that goes on in college fishing, whether they're on your team or not, because everyone kind of knows what everyone else is going through. Like whether you're a freshman or a senior, like we're all between 18 and 23, 24 years old. And like, no one's out there with any sort of bad intentions or anything. Like, we're all just trying to get everything that we can out of these 4 years and enjoy it as much as we possibly can and move on to the next stage in our life with whatever accolades we could amass in college. So I think that's probably what makes it the most special out of anything in fishing.
Scott, anything to add on that?
No, he like hit it right on the head there. That's kind of what I was thinking. He was talking about.
Is there any pranks you guys do on the freshmen coming in?
Oh, dude, they do it to themselves, man.
I love the laugh.
You just let them run for the first couple weeks, and then they figure out that they're not what they were in high school, and it straightens right out after that.
There's no cutting off all their line or anything like that? Before,
you know? Well,
we usually, the first college tournament that we usually go to, ACA puts on, and it's a Big Bass Bash. So it's like probably one of the funnest college tournaments you get to fish all year because there is literally zero pressure at all. I mean, you are just out there to have a good time. And the way that our coach does it is usually he'll pair like two upperclassmen and then stick a freshman in their boat to kind of show them the ways. So, yeah, we've done plenty of – I mean, every year when our freshman leaves, they are more of a man than they were when they got in the boat. We teach them all sorts of things that they must know about college fishing before they go any further.
You see this line, freshman, you don't come past this line, all right?
Exactly.
That's awesome.
And if we're fishing a tournament, this is my point to this point, and I don't want to see you within 500 yards, like exactly. That kind of Tommy stuff. Biffle, yeah. Tommy Biffle, I'll cut you.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. Here we go. We got Kenny Swint asked, is there any punishment for acting up? Oh, God. Throwing a drop shot the next tournament, and that's all you're allowed to throw.
That's it.
That's my uncle, actually, that asked that question.
Oh, there you go. You're trying to get the family details here.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess riding with him in the truck for 8 hours, that'd be the punishment.
Riding with Tyler?
No, with my uncle, because he was on the
asset. Oh. Tyler got some bad gas or something like that?
Oh, man.
That was, it sounds like, I mean, a trip to Larby's. That truck probably not smelling too good. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I got one last question here for you guys, but Andy, what you got anything for these boys?
Oh man, I guess like rounding out the season, you guys probably only have a few tournaments left, right? So like, what do you think you're going to miss the most about like the college environment and fishing before you step out and move on to the next real life endeavors that you guys have coming forward?
Probably just the environment and like being around the guys and stuff, like that whole part of college fishing that's like so difficult to capture that if you hadn't like lived it, it would be difficult to explain to somebody. But like the fraternity of guys that we have around here and like the relationships with all of them and being on the road and like the raw emotion of when somebody else does good, like getting pumped up and then vice versa. Like that tournament, when we won the college classic, it was like, you could tell we were hyped, but like everyone on the team was hyped for us because they've seen how hard we've worked for it the last few years. And that kind of thing happens all the time around here. Like you finally see a guy who is working like as hard as anyone you've ever seen, and it finally pays off for him. Like, those moments are what I'm going to miss the most being around here. But that and just like the competitive nature, like getting to go all across the country and fish all these crazy places and then come back and the school's fitting the bill for it for us. That's something that I'm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to help out big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Scott?
Definitely the whole travel aspect of it. Like, just being our age and getting to do what we've done and the school helping us out with that and not all the costs being on us and seeing the places we've seen and growing as an angler with it, I'm going to miss that. That's just going to be hard, or it's going to take some time to get used to not being able to travel as much and fish all these new places and learn all these different techniques while we're on the road. And then, like he said, the fraternity, like all of our friends that we see, they even though that don't go to our school, like we have buddies from Carson Newman, Bethel, Adrian that we see 3-4 times a year at tournaments now. But every time we see them, it's like we've grown up together pretty much. So
yeah,
it's just gonna be hard to pass up.
Yeah, heck yeah, dude. Creates that camaraderie like you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does the school cover the Larbies, or is that coming out of your guys' pocket?
No, we basically how it works is you have your roster of guys who the school is sending to the tournament, which coach puts together, and those guys are getting everything paid for, from gas, lodging, food for the week, like basically all of your living expenses aside from tackle and like wear and tear on the truck and boat and stuff. Like it's all covered. And that's awesome. Something that our school offers that very few offer, and to the magnitude that ours offers it, I don't think that there's another one that compares. So it's been one of those deals, like we wouldn't have been able, I can speak for both of us when I say, if it wasn't for this program and what this school's given us, there's no way we'd have been able to accomplish what we've accomplished just because of the financial constraints.
That's awesome, dude.
Oh yeah.
That's pretty badass. Well, boys, one, congrats again on the dub.
Thank you.
Two, thank you so much for coming on this show. Definitely want to get you guys back on here.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Yeah. My last thing for you guys, people that are new to the show, we always like to cap off with the a question. We usually ask if you want to have dinner and a drink with three different people, you know, who would they be? But we're going to change it up a little bit for you guys. So you can't pick each other, okay? If you could pick any guy that's either on the Elites or BPT or anything like that, you have to constrict it to that. If you could fish a college season with one other angler of your choosing, who would you guys pick?
I'd pick my buddy Sykes from Adrian in Michigan. He's the funniest guy ever. We just met him back in December. And he is literally the funniest guy ever.
Man, quick to jump the table after only 3 months, huh?
He is a good dude, man.
He's a great guy.
And I don't know how well they'd catch him, because it'd just be a straight goof fest in the boat the whole time, but they would have a fantastic time doing
that. Would be one you need. Like, you could have viral videos on TikTok and everything. So
it'd be Team No Pants. That's what it would be.
Yeah,
Team No
Pants. Right.
Team Jockey Outdoors. That's what it would be.
Jeez.
That's awesome. What about you, Tyler?
Oh man, that is a tough one. I've listened to the show a lot, and I've been like, oh well, those would be my three answers whenever you ask that question. But now that you've spun it like this, I don't know. It'd probably have to be Brandon Polinick. Like, I just want to be a fly on the wall in that guy's boat. Like, I don't even have to touch a rod. I just want to learn, like, how to obtain the mindset that he has, because the winner's mindset that dude has is, if you could ever achieve that at, like, a freshman in college age, you'd be the most unstoppable angler ever. It'd be wild. So I just want to, like, spend one season in the boat with him. I'd let him run the whole operation. You got it, man. I'm just going to stay back here. If I put one in the box, cool. If not, I'm just learning from you.
You fish, I'll call these.
Exactly. I got the live well operation. I'll drive. Don't you worry. I got it. I'll be your caddy.
I'll be your caddy. I love that. Yeah, I mean, dude, that wisdom, obviously, I think from our perspective, he's been preaching some pretty wise advice for a long time, and I think that's come from a lot of different environments that he's been presented with, but you know, obviously now, like, he's considered a veteran, but there's a lot of, I feel like, sayings and advice and things that people go by in our industry now that have stemmed from Polinick,
for sure.
I think from the most important side of tournament fishing, professional fishing, being mental, he's the best candidate and best example of somebody to follow. I think that's a perfect one to go with in regard to, from a learning aspect. Because we've said it multiple times, and I've said it on this show, like, I'm with you on that. Like, Brandon Polinick's been the biggest guy from a fan standpoint that I've studied just out of curiosity and just pure admiration for what he's been able to do and how he approaches things. But I'm also, and I'll say it to his face, like, I don't think he's the most talented angler out there. I don't know if I'd put him in top five, but you don't need the top, the most talented anglers out there aren't the ones that are winning every single tournament. Exactly. I mean, you have people go out there and say, you know, Jacob Wheeler's mechanics, like he's not even in the top five, but he, from a pure mental and strategy standpoint, that's why these guys are the best.
Right.
And so that's spot on, man. Well, boys, seriously, again, appreciate you guys taking the time. It's been cool to learn more about you. Hopefully you got some more fans of you guys as well as Montevallo. Hopefully Jockey will send an email here soon to the squad. But for real, thank you guys a ton. And with that, is there anything that the folks should look out for, either for you guys specifically or for the team moving forward?
No, we go to Kentucky Lake. We leave this Saturday for the next Bassmaster College Series stop, and then
we got teams at Hartwell now.
We got guys on our team at Hartwell right now for an ACA tournament going on. I mean, we're wide open right up until the end of May, pretty much beginning of June. So
awesome.
We'll be fishing plenty of stuff. If you want to drop a follow on the Instagram, TC Fish and Sledge Fishing, you can follow along with our crazy adventures on there.
I think okay. I think you just need to change it to the Sledge, Scott.
The Sledge.
And it's be the username, the Sledge.
I'll see what I can figure out sometime.
Well, what I did do for folks that are watching currently or listening to the MP3 is I do have your guys' social media links down below. Make sure you guys do go drop them a follow. I'll actually add in there Montevallo's page as well, so you guys can keep up with the team as well. But appreciate you, boys. And that was good talking with you. We'll definitely get you back on here after season.
Good time.
Go catch them up.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
All right, boys. We'll be talking to you soon.
We'll see you.
That's wicked cool, dude. If there's one thing, Andy, I wish I could go back and do.
Yeah, I wish they had it when I was high schooler, because I know I totally would have went to college just to fish.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's that, and it's just that experience, dude. And that's the one thing with the whole youth movement thing that people don't put in perspective either, is the advancement of the college fishing programs and how much they've progressed in helping these anglers develop. I think that's not being factored in there as well, but two really good dudes, seem like really smart and intelligent fellas that got a good head on their shoulders. So shout out to Mr. Sledge that was watching too. I think should be very proud. But nonetheless, great guys. And I think their names are going to be seen in the sport for quite a while. And hopefully if not, we'll see them in the industry. We'll love to see that. But Amy, that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun getting a meal on there and learn about two new up-and-coming anglers in the college ranks.
Yeah, I always enjoy episodes where we have a lot of rabbit holes, and we definitely had some rabbit holes today. So
yeah, that we did. We definitely had a lot of rabbit holes, which is always a constant with this show, which I think some people like. But nonetheless, again, guys, there's all the links down below. Added some to Omnia, so you guys can take advantage of those sales, but also the social media links. For each of the guys that we had on the show tonight, so you guys can keep up with them, follow them. Definitely, these are the type of things that we like to bring out some of the personality of the anglers that you might not see either from their social or from live streams of the events themselves. So hopefully get these guys back on towards the end of the season, kind of recap things. But Andy, it was a great show today. Again, for folks, tomorrow we're going to announce the winner of the Blackfish Gear giveaway. For us hitting 10K on Instagram. So again, appreciate everybody that is following along on there. All you got to do is just follow us to be entered. It's not too late. I'm literally going to do the drawing tomorrow at like 7 or 8 in the morning, and we'll announce on social who that winner is. Yeah, I think that's going to do it for today's show. Oh, Monday of next week, we'll do a little recap of the Harris Chain, and hopefully the computer will cooperate for that fantasy fishing show, because we'll have St. John's River for next week, which will be an interesting time for these guys to fish St. John's. But all in all, great show. I'll cap it off with this. It is next Tuesday Night Live. We got some new stuff from X2 Power coming, so we're gonna be dropping some cool news. But Andy, as always, great show, folks. Appreciate y'all. Please like, subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you haven't left a rating review on MP3, if you are listening, please do. Help us out big time. and we'll see you guys next week. Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Searsanga fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all, and we'll see y'all on the next one.